place to go.
Good morning, Thursday morning. The Steve Cochran Show off and rolling from the WGM Radio Skyline Studio, high atop the Chicago River, looking east to beautiful Lake Michigan amidst the glimmering skyscrapers of the Lakefront East area. Good morning, Dave Ennett here, G alongside Super Joe and Vivian on the other side of the glass. Steve Grzanich in the newsroom. Mary Vandeveld in Traffic Central. How's everybody this morning?
Good morning. I am, you know what? I am still adjusting. I hope you're not tired of these stories. Day four of week two. Please bear with me, everyone. Thank you so much. But I did ask you guys yesterday, like, when's the last time you eat before you go to bed? Mm-hmm. And last night I decided, well, I should probably not eat after, like, 5, 6 o'clock, right? So right. I can
no,
try to unwind.
You can eat.
Yeah, I can eat. Well, I mean, Steve told me around, like, 5. He doesn't eat after 5. 5,
well,
6-ish.
He has weird hours. I mean, he's like a night owl, so he can't fall asleep a lot.
And he's also a gremlin, so he can't eat after
well,
a certain
I had
time.
That, yeah. I had that yeah. classic moment. Tell me, guys, if you do this, too. I did the thing where I was like, okay, I'm just going to eat this little portion-controlled scoop of chicken salad, and I bought a big container of it.
Mm-hmm.
From the grocery. Yeah. So then I'm like, okay, I'm just going to eat this without the bread. It'll be low carb. So then I take a scoop, and then I'm like, 5 minutes later, I'll go back for another scoop. Then I was like, oh, well, I'll just have half a slice of bread. Then I go for another scoop. Then I end up having like 4 slices of bread, end up eating the entire container of chicken salad.
What, up until like 10?
Yes. And then I'm like, you know, binge watching Amazon Prime.
You should have just eaten it when you wanted to.
I know.
With your first instinct, then you would have been fine.
I'm learning. Yeah, I'm learning, Dave. I can't be as, you know, you're the ultimate professional. You are restrained. You're refined.
All right. You want to hear what I did this morning?
Yes, please tell me.
There's a phenomenon called 3 a.m. brain, which we all have, right? Anybody works these hours, you have it. And at about 3:40 this morning, after I got out of the shower, after I'd shaved, reaching for my aftershave balm.
Ooh, nice.
Rub it between
balm.
My hands.
What are
it's
you,
like,
a
no,
hipster? Are you
no,
a hipster?
No, just reduce irritation. And just rubbing it between my hands and proceeded to rub it in my hair.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing?
Right.
I'm yelling at myself in the mirror.
It's the same as hair gel, right?
No, it's not.
So you smell very nice today.
Well, I hope I do.
Extra nice.
I hope I do, and I hope my hair looks okay. Yeah. But it's just the kind of thing you do at that hour. Well, I don't know why.
Listen, Dave, I'm sitting right across from you, and I have to tell you, the hair looks fantastic.
Thank you, Jim.
And Dave, you're not alone. A couple of weeks ago, I stuck my toothbrush into forming cream.
Ooh.
So I almost brushed my teeth with forming cream
what
for my hair.
What is forming cream?
Like crew stuff for your hair, you know, that you just...
Oh, okay, see?
There's too many hair products that you can mistake for other things.
I feel like that's what guys can do. You guys can go wild on the hair products, you know? Like, whatever, the sculpting forming cream.
Yeah,
like,
but just a word of advice, don't use aftershave balm.
I don't think I have to worry about that.
Nah, I don't think so.
Thank God. Thank God I'm not growing a beard yet.
And gee, you'll fall into a routine. It'll all shake out. Don't worry.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for bearing with me.
Yeah, and then, you know, you have to once in a while do something at night. I mean, to screw up the routine. Like last night I had the book club. So, you know, that screws up your routine because I was eating, you know, brownies at 8 o'clock, 9
nice.
O'clock.
And I hope you had wine with this book
club. Of course.
Club.
Of course. And,
proud
you know,
of you, Mary.
I did fall asleep, though. I was proud of myself.
There you go.
I did make it.
Let's get to the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't kick. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
On the top 6 this morning, 6 Philadelphia police officers shot during a standoff with a gunman that began when they tried to serve a narcotics warrant, ended more than 7 hours later when he surrendered. Steve, do we know any more about this? Apparently, the officers were okay.
The officers are okay. As I remember last night, as this was standoff was still going on, the police department there was saying that the officers were in good spirits, that they weren't severely hurt, that they weren't seriously hurt. So those officers look like they're going to be okay. But this situation yesterday was just a hail of gunfire. We're just lucky that it wasn't worse, that bystanders and, you know, civilians weren't involved. There were a couple of women on one of the floors, I think, near where all the shooting was happening, and they were rescued in the middle of all of this. But, wow, what a scene.
Well, thankfully, it resolved safely for the officers. Number two. The FDA effectively endorsed a regimen that proved wildly successful against the most drug-resistant tuberculosis strain. In a groundbreaking experiment, the agency approved the last of the three drugs as long as it's used with the other two, which were previously approved. I had heard recently, I think we might have talked to Doc Most about this not long ago, but TB, you know, when we were kids, we were all vaccinated for it and kind of had the impression that it was not a concern, that it had, at least in our part of the world, it wasn't something you worry about. But tuberculosis has made a really alarming comeback and surpassed AIDS as the leading infectious cause of death. If the World Health Organization adopts this FDA approval, the treatment could soon be used worldwide. Former Congressman Joe Walsh, the conservative talk show host, prominent Tea Party figure, on Wednesday called President Trump a, quote, unfit con man and a racial arsonist, and urged a primary challenge for the Republican nomination next year. He also apologized both for his own heated rhetoric over the years and for helping to elect Trump in 2016.
Wow.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a law that would require insurance companies to cover costs for kids needing EpiPen injections for cases of severe allergic reactions. We're going to talk more about this with Dr. Kevin Hewlett later on at 8:40 this morning.
And I'll also tell you about another alternative that my son has taken up instead of the EpiPen.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I was struck, too. I knew you were going to get into more of this, but one of the stats from this story from yesterday that I heard, at least two kids in every classroom in the state have some sort of allergy that requires an EpiPen.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot now.
It's a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have some more information on that coming up.
No more snacks.
That's right. Here's something that those of us who used to work in the Tribune Tower would be interested in, because we're right next door to the Intercontinental Hotel, and once in a while, if there was a snowstorm or you had a late night in town, and you had to be
like,
in there early in the morning.
Where's the story going?
Yeah, well,
you guys have some stories to share with me.
The Intercontinental was sort of the place to go.
Wait a minute. Why would you just need to go and spend the night at the hotel?
Well, if it was going to snow
we
couldn't get in.
I just thought it was going somewhere else.
Well, there's a... It's a long story. But anyway, the Intercontinental is offering rooms for under $20, toasting to 90 years on the Magnificent Mile to commemorate the event. The Michigan Avenue Hotel, which opened in 1929. Have you guys ever seen the pool in the Intercontinental?
No.
That is really cool. Old, Art Deco swimming pool there.
Well, clearly someone's very familiar with Intercontinental.
Oh, I've been to the Intercontinental,
Uh-huh.
But anyway, they're offering a special rate, $19.29, to the first 90 people who make a reservation online on August 25th. That's a week from Sunday.
So we have to set our alarm midnight on August 25th.
Yeah, probably. I would, Mary, if you want it.
I'll put that in my notes.
All right. And finally, if you're a cat person,
ding, 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 ding. Me over here.
No.
But if you're allergic to cats, gee.
I'm allergic to cats.
You know what? Me too.
Yeah.
So is Steve.
You guys are lying. You're not really allergic.
No. Well, we want to be if we aren't.
Well, a group of scientists in Switzerland has come up with a vaccine that would decrease the presence of FEL-D1, the glycoprotein secreted by cats, to which 10% of the Western population is allergic.
Yeah, because
that's a lot.
I'm hearing that it's
because
you know cats are constantly grooming themselves, so it's the saliva. It's some sort of protein in the saliva that people are allergic to, and once it dries on the fur and then gets airborne. But listen, I mean, you just pop a Zyrtec or a Claritin.
Or stay away from cats.
Yeah, there you go.
But they're so cute. They're really sweet.
They're sneaky. They're sneaky.
Yeah.
And they're
conniving.
Okay, listen, guys. You know what people say? They say that you see the qualities, you project the qualities that you worry about in for yourself.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So that means if I think a cat's sneaky, I'm sneaky?
I think
sneaky?
It's because you're worried you might be sneaky or surrounded by sneaky people.
And cats pick up on you being afraid of them. I know that, around cats.
Yeah.
And then they jump on me, the first person, because they know I will hate
Well, listen, I love all animals. I want a menagerie of animals. I'd like to have, I'd like to have a bunny and a dog and a miniature pony.
And a ferret.
Yeah, join my apartment. But I don't think my landlord would like that.
No, probably not. And that's the top six.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Nick's up next with movies for the upcoming weekend.
He is Nick at night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
This is a good weekend, I think, to see a movie. I mean, summer's winding down. A lot of movies out there.
It's going to be really hot, too.
Yeah, it's going to be hot, which I know Nick loves the hot weather. Right?
Oh, yeah. I live for it.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. So, last weekend, where'd you go? What'd you see?
Well, my folks and I go see a movie every Saturday.
Right.
We saw two this past Saturday. We saw The Kitchen, which is the mob movie that takes place in Hell's Kitchen 1978 that stars Melissa McCarthy, Tiffany Haddish, and the extraordinarily awesome Elizabeth Moss. And all three of us were very disappointed in it. It was every mob cliche that you could possibly imagine. Best part of it was that they really dirtied up Hell's Kitchen and made it look like 1978 era New York. So the costumes and the set design was great. Elizabeth Moss, who's never not great, was the best thing in the movie, but we were all disappointed in it.
Is it a comedy, Nick?
No. It's a straight up mob drama. There's some funny moments in it, but no, this is a flat out mob movie.
Dave's thinking. You're thinking about the Melissa McCarthy one, I think.
Melissa
McCarthy's in it.
Yeah,
and
she's done a couple dramatic roles more recently.
Yeah, she was nominated for Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Yeah, which I saw, which is
year.
Really cool.
I love that movie, but clearly I am very confused about this mob movie. I need to look this up.
And Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yeah, I loved it. So did my folks. My folks really liked it. I never read the stories. I was a little too old for those. Those were kind of like books with great artwork that were aimed at teenagers that started, I believe, in the 80s. And they made a film out of it, and it's rated PG-13. And I know I'm a big horror film fan. Whenever I see a horror movie that's rated PG-13, I immediately think, well, this is going to be wussy.
Yeah, it's not going to be scary enough.
But this is really creepy stuff, really scary and really good, very well made, some really great special effects, a really great young cast of unknowns. The kids are terrific in it. Special effects are great, and it provides a lot of suspense and a lot of scare. It's a very, very creepy movie.
Well, Nick, this is G. I'm new to the show, but I need to know a little bit more about your parents. Like, how old are they? You go see movies with them every Sunday?
Every Saturday we
Saturday,
go. And
okay.
My folks are, my dad's going to be 78 in 2 weeks. My mom is 75.
And they're awesome. And, they're so much fun.
And, they're great.
My dad used to take me to movies. Well, I'll just give you a background, G, since you don't really know the story. My dad and I used to go to movies every Sunday morning. We go to two or three movies, and my obsession with movies began basically with those trips down to the Loop to see the movies at the big movie theaters, the grindhouses. And to give you a little background on the kind of childhood I had in the movies, my father took me to see The Exorcist when I was 8.
What? So, oh, my goodness. I would have had nightmares forever.
Yeah, well, it freaked me out, but I still, you know, and it was funny about it, we didn't tell my mom. We told my mom that we were going to see something else. Because my parents saw The Exorcist, my mom freaked out and forbid my father from taking me to see it, because I had already seen a bunch of R-rated movies and inappropriate stuff at that point.
Got it. So
but
this
said,
web of lies you, started very young for you.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
The weird thing is that, so we told my mom I was going to see something else. My father took me to see it. It freaked me out. My mom didn't know about this until about 40 years later when I was talking about it on the radio. That's when she found out my dad took me to see The Exorcist at 8 and got mad at him 40 years after the fact.
Got it, got it. Okay, I've derailed this segment long enough. Okay. Go back to your movie.
What do we got coming up this week?
We got the Angry Birds movie 2. Which
is a surprise to those of us who didn't realize there was an Angry Birds movie 1.
Yeah. Or those of us who actually had to sit through Angry Bird movies 1. It was a brutal movie, but actually this one's not getting bad reviews. But so if you saw the first one or you played the game on your phone, you know, it's got a great group of people providing voices, though. Lots of talented people doing the voice work on it. We have Good Boys. This is the one that I'm most looking forward to this week. This is about three young kids who are like 11 or 12 years old who are going to go to a party where they're going to play spin the bottle, so they want to learn how to kiss. This is a hard R-rated, vulgar, completely inappropriate comedy. The stars of the movie aren't old enough to see it. And it's supposed to be one of the most vulgar and raunchy comedies of the year, and the main kids are not over the age of 12. So, of course, this one's right up my alley.
Oh, of course, of course.
You know what's right up my alley is the Bernadette movie. I want to see that one.
Yeah, that looks promising.
How about it, Nick?
Where'd you go, Bernadette? Kate Blanchett, who can do no wrong. She is just an extraordinary actress. She's in it. The great Kristen Wiig is in it. Billy Crudup. It's based on a bestseller about a woman who kind of has a nervous breakdown, just completely leaves her family, has kind of a midlife crisis, and tries to find herself. Everything I hear about this movie is really great. Kate Blanchett is great. And the director here is Richard Linklater, who made Boyhood, and he did the Before trilogy, Before Sunrise, Before Midnight, and so on, and Dazed and Confused. He's one of the most consistently great filmmakers out there. And when you put Kate Blanchett in a movie, you've already got like a plus from me. So
I'm sure there's a lot of women out there that listening that probably have fantasized for a moment about just leaving the family.
She's right about my age bracket too. I want to read the book first, though. I wonder how it relates.
It's like, goodbye. Yeah. You guys don't appreciate me. I have too much on my plate. I'm out of here.
40. Yeah, and that's what the whole thing's about. She's just like, that's it. Can't take it. Gone.
Woo.
So
47 Meters Down, Uncaged.
Yeah, this is a sequel to 47 Meters Down. The difference is there's no cage in this one. This is it's a shark movie. It's a bunch of pretty people in the water being attacked by a shark. I love to watch sharks eat people in movies, so maybe I'll like this one, even though the first one was pretty excruciatingly boring. And this is another sequel for this week that I think a lot of people are surprised that there would be a sequel, because not that many people saw 47 Meters Down, but maybe the reason why they didn't see it, because there was a cage in it. Mm. So maybe people will see this.
Better than the Meg or worse than the Meg?
I haven't seen this yet, my guess is it can't be worse.
Okay.
There you go. Nick, have a great day. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Nick D. And you could just go on YouTube. Pretty much every hour there's a new shark video surfacing for somewhere. All right, we'll get to the news with Steve in a moment.
Part of my focus on what we need to do around smart gun safety laws is recognize that we have to have more enforcement around gun dealers. 90% of the guns that are associated with crime are sold by just 5% of the gun dealers in the United States. And so among the many plans that I have, both in the form of executive action and also in the form of legislation, one of them is to put more resources into the ATF to take the licenses of gun dealers who violate the law. And that includes a number of things, including when they're responsible for doing background checks, not doing them.
That's Kamala Harris on CNN. You know, I'll be honest with you, this morning after six cops were shot and a guy had a mountain of ammunition in his apartment, and the Dow went down 800 points yesterday and is heading in a bad direction today, I couldn't care less about these candidates and what they're saying about what's going to happen next year. We need some answers now. And the question is, where are they going to come from? Let's bring in my friend Chuck Todd. MSNBC, Meet the Press, and of course, MTP Daily and the Chuck Toddcast, which you should listen to every week. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm concerned about the world, as you know, because that's what we do. But these cops in Philly who went to serve a warrant, six of them shot. Thankfully, all of them are treated and released to the hospital. But this guy apparently had a mountain of ammunition. Is anybody in Congress going to deal with this, or are they counting on the news cycle timing out here?
Well, I think it's somewhere in between. They're never going to do something about that. I mean, you know, this has been... Look, they're going to vote on something
because I think the political pressure for Republicans who represent suburban areas is real, and I think they think that this they gotta at least move a little bit. But even with after the Newtown shooting, when everybody threw their eggs into the Manchin Toomey basket on background checks, I remember thinking, you realize this bill passes, it had no impact on the shooting in Connecticut.
Right.
Wouldn't have had any impact on the shooting in Connecticut. It is weird to me that Congress always responds on guns with ideas that might be able to pass but have nothing to do with what actually happened. And so the ammunition front, this is something cops have been complaining about this ammunition
forever.
Thing for a long time. And I don't know why it does not get traction at all, but it is one of those things that's been politically a lot more difficult. I don't know if you give it public attention, it seems to be a no-brainer, but for some reason it doesn't get that attention because cops complain about this arsenal. They said this is, we're outgunned. And the ability for some folks to get this stuff is just too easy.
The NRA has been able to yab at this thing to death and scream Second Amendment. Gun control is not gun confiscation. You got a Congress can't mm-hmm. agree that the sky is blue. If you think they're actually going to come with a constitutional amendment to take your gun, stop it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in my lifetime. It's not going to happen in my grandkids' lifetime.
No, but it's possible we redefine the Second Amendment. I think the Scalia definition of the Second Amendment that basically everybody has a right to, right to any firearm type of thing. I think that, the Heller thing, with the hand, I do think that there's certainly more room for judicial interpretation of the
Second Amendment. 1,000%. But here's the problem, that the Democrats and the Republicans, who, in my words, are thinking straight, are so bad at messaging that they allow themselves to be put in the corner on this, and then they don't know how to respond.
No, this is where the Republican Party's ability to create and make every issue appear black and white, and they sloganeer it a bit. Democrats get sort of mealy mouthed sometimes. They get intimidated. They're gun confiscation or whatever it is. They're able to manipulate the words, and Democrats just sort of fold sometimes in these things. And this is one of those cases where public opinion's on their side if they harness it the right way.
The greater concern for the majority of America today, and it doesn't mean there's any less concern for cops that got shot in Philly, mm-hmm. is the fact that the market appears like it's going to at least open even further down this morning. Is there anybody in Trump world that can talk to Trump and tell him not to make this worse?
I think this is one of those cases where Trump wants to do anything to fix this without admitting that he was wrong. So I do think he'll be laser-like focused on this. He's got a huge problem because I think this is the week that it is sinking into people that he's mismanaging the economy. The economy was always but for the economy, the Trump president would be tanking. But for the economy, it would be a total disaster. But for the economy, but he doesn't have a but for the economy. And I think that the public now is aware this is the result of his China policy. And now the public's got to decide, is this worth it? Yes, we wanted to get tough on China, but you didn't tell me it was going to be like this. Is this the way to do it? Maybe the TPP idea wasn't a bad idea. The only thing I'm wondering here is are Democrats going to get a spine here and offer the alternative version of how to confront China without tanking the American economy? And that's what somebody needs to be a little bit bolder, I think, among the Democrats and start outlining that vision. I think the country wants to hear an alternative. I know the fear here. Democrats are being a little fearful because they figure anything they do to criticize them on China, it'll make them look soft on China, which is why they've been weirdly muted other than to say that he's mismanaged this trade war. I think they need to get bolder and bigger on this because I think the country's listening.
You've said it here. We've talked about it here. A coalition of countries believes that China has stolen intellectual property and has not played by the rules. That's the answer. Why can't Democrats stand up? Where's Schumer and Pelosi standing up and saying, the rest of the world understands China needs to behave. This is not the way to make it happen.
Right. What you say is this president has lit our relationships on fire in the EU Japan, Korea. He's lighting our relationships on fire. If he didn't, we all could stand up against China. We create a coalition of Asian countries not named China. Okay, we don't have to call it the TPP anymore, but there's a coalition of willing partners that will trade honestly, of honest trade partners. And that's how you pressure China. And in this is a case where I think, you know, the president had an ideological belief about tariffs and trade that went back to the 80s, and he was, by God, going to implement this idea, whether anybody liked it or not. Okay, how many more billions need to be lost in the stock market? You know, this actually tanks GDP. Every time I ran into a guy named Alan Greenspan, you may have heard of him.
Yeah, a little bit.
I do run into him a little bit since he is married to an NBC colleague. And I asked him yesterday, I said, what do you make of all this? He says, you know, when the stock market tumbles 10% or more like this, you know, when it starts tumbling, I tell you, this much, I mean, 1% or more like this over a period of time, he says, we're going to lose 10% of our GDP. I mean, guess what? When people think they have more money in their portfolios, they spend more money.
Right.
And when people think their portfolios are starting to shrink, they don't spend money. What do you think that does to our GDP? Shrinks it. So this will end up becoming, you know, a bad problem that only exponentially gets worse.
And everybody who says I'm not in the market, it doesn't affect me. Yes, you are. Your 401k is in the market. Your bank.
Everybody's in the market.
Your bank that has your money is in the market. You're in the market.
Yeah, everybody's in the market, whether you like it or not, even if you don't want to be. I will say this, all those people that are investing in gold feel pretty smart today.
Yeah, I got rid of my gold.
Yeah, you're a Bitcoin guy, aren't you?
Genius play by me.
give me a commodity that I can't see or touch.
Yes.
Yeah, I take gold where you can see and touch it. Give me the commodity I can't see or touch.
Yeah, I get it. By the way, before I let you go, how do you feel about pumpkin spice coming back sooner than expected?
They bring this back sooner and sooner every year. We're August with the pumpkin spice. Look, I happen to like the flavor of pumpkin. I don't understand why pumpkin is only isolated October, November. I think every part of the pumpkin is good. I'm a squash guy in general.
Oh.
Pumpkin pie. I love the pumpkin seed. So, look, you're not going to get any argument from me. I think pumpkin's one of those flavors we've isolated too long into this sort of two-month thing, sort of the way I used to feel about eggnog.
So
like, I don't understand why we only have eggnog around December. I kind of like eggnog.
I got eggnog to death when I was a kid because that's my parents had all the time. But having said that, Christmas needs a season. Thanksgiving needs a season. Halloween needs a season. Pumpkin spice, yeah. Chuck Todd said it here, all year long.
All year long, guys.
Great...
I will be speaking. Apparently, I will become a spokesperson for Starbucks if I say enough. Like said, it's enough. So.
If I see Chuck Todd on TV for pumpkin spice, it's over.
If it's Sunday, it's me depressed. But every other day of the week, I enjoy a pumpkin spice latte. All right, there you go. Goodbye.
Have a great day. That's Chuck Todd. Meet the Press. Chuck Todd, the Toddcast. And coming out strong, Dave, for pumpkin spice year-round.
I'm enjoying my first cup of pumpkin coffee of the season.
We've got the president standing by, but just one second while I take a drink of my pumpkin spice latte.
And there's some breaking pumpkin spice news this morning.
What?
Spam has now confirmed that they're going to come out with a pumpkin spice spam. It's not a joke.
Oh, so that's going to make us eat it more?
I think I may have just thrown up a little bit.
I smell a show video.
That's a little odd. That's a little odd.
Pat Brady is in D.C. this morning. He'll report live from the White House lawn. Okay, outside by the fence. Eric Adelstone will be live in studio, also coming up this morning on this show. Dean Richards in a little something we call Moron Entertainment. And a doctor weighs in on the fact that Illinois has stepped up and done something good here and said, guess what, insurance companies, you're paying for the EpiPen. Stand by for all of that. But first, hey, a couple of things before we go further here. Happy birthday, Keith Moore. It was actually yesterday. I missed it on the texter line, so I apologize. But, Keith, I hope you had a great birthday. Your family loves you. Your friends love you, and they wanted you to know that. Also, Tommy Shanahan from the White Eagle Bag. Is that a great Irish name or what? Tommy Shanahan from the White Eagle Golf Club Bag Room. Great kid.
Mm-hmm.
Fine-looking young man. Ladies, hello. This is a guy that's like 20s in college. Bright future. Smart kid. I'd grab him if I were you, ladies. I'm now pimping for the guys.
And making the big bucks, too.
He is when I come through. I'm a good tipper.
I'm sure. I know that.
So, Tommy Shanahan. And I also want to thank this individual. quickly here. You know what? I'll do this after the break. Can we do it after the break? Let's do the break. And then I'll get this paper clip out of my finger, which I've just jammed it into, and I'll tell you what I was about to talk about.
You need a tourniquet?
I may, actually, yes. It is 6:56, and we're back after this on 720 WGN. Congratulations to Jeff Joniak, who Robert Feeder reports this morning is joining the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame. Don't I know somebody in there?
In the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
I'm sure you know lots of people in there, but Jeff's very worthy. Good guy.
He's a good dude, isn't he?
Good friend, yes. Yeah,
so he's been working for the wrong station for years, but what are you going to do about that?
Yeah, I can't do anything about that.
Coming up, more bad state fair food. You would not believe in this week of the state fair here in Illinois, you would not believe some of the crap that's being sold at state fairs around the country. Every year we do this and I look at it, it just remains amazing to me. But because it's you, Dave, I also have some of the most interesting health snacks.
Oh, good.
On the market. That's just for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Now I got to go to a state fair to get that?
No.
Oh, this is not state fair.
That wouldn't get within 10 miles of any state
fair. See, I mean, you confused me there.
No, I was just trying
to... They're giving healthy stuff.
Trying to give you a balance, counterbalance. That's coming up, too. And so is the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Next, what's going on with my voice today?
It sounds good. I mean...
It's like deeper than normal.
Yeah, you sort of have that resonance.
Kind of a Barry White thing going on here, for those of you old enough to remember Barry White.
Or an Orion Samuelson kind of thing.
Which is the one that did Lay Down, Lady, Lay Down? Was that
was
Orion?
That was Orion, yes. Yeah.
News time now. Chicago stories. Told 24-7 on 720 WGN Chicago.
I just tuned right in on the Cochrane Show today to hear what he is saying.
What is he saying?
You never know about something that he said. Will keep your vote from swaying.
Keep it from swaying, baby.
The analyst with info that you need to know. And you can get it here on 720. Oh, oh, oh. Now he's never gonna look at politics. It's simply black and white, yeah. Listen to Pat Brady.
Ah, that's the John DeCoste, musical director of the program, singing to Pat Brady, who's live in D.C. this morning. Good morning, Pat.
Morning. How's it going?
Doing fine. Were you dancing to your theme song there while you were on hold?
I was. Quite nice. That soothing sound of John DeCoste.
Let's talk about what really matters. Did you get your daughter dropped off in D.C. at her new job?
I am just, Mavis sitting right here with me. We're walking around the mall, and we're going over to the White House, and then I'm leaving. So, yes, I will today. A lot of people dropping kids off for jobs in college. It's kind of sad, isn't it?
Well, congratulate her for us.
I will. She's very, very excited. You know, it's a great place for a young person, as you know.
Absolutely, yeah. Unfortunately, it's not a great place for old people, and that would be all the people in politics. We have what looks like another ugly day on Wall Street. I would just tell people, don't sell. You see, if you sell, everything gets worse. Don't sell. If we have less people selling stocks today, then the stock market will calm down. The fever will pass. Don't sell. How do you think I did, Pat?
Yeah, I don't think it's working. You know, it's funny. three weeks ago, I called the guy that handles what I have and said the same thing. I go, you know, this trade war is going in a bad direction quickly, and I get into bonds. I want to get out of the market. And I'm sure, I'm no financial genius. I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. And we've been saying this for probably 3 years now. Trade wars have never worked, and they're not going to work in this case. I don't disagree that China is a bad actor, but there are ways to deal with it that you talked about earlier with Chuck Todd. And Trump going it alone, he's really backed himself into a corner, and it's really going to start to affect the country.
Can you explain who this Peter Navarro character is and why he's bad for the whole problem?
I don't know that much about him, to be frank, Steve. I really don't. Is he, he's one of Trump's guys?
Yeah, Peter Navarro is the guy that was brought in to kind of facilitate.
I like that word.
They got to facilitate the grand strategy and be the architect of this trade war with China. He called the Wall Street Journal a communist paper yesterday for criticizing him, which I'm guessing it's the first time the Wall Street Journal has been called communist.
Well, it's funny. I'm in D.C. over by the White House, and we just walked by the Ronald Reagan International Trade Building.
Mm-hmm.
What the president is doing has never been part of the Republican agenda. It's never been part of the conservative platform. Trade wars have never worked, and they just damaged the United States, and particularly the way he's done it. So whatever Navarro is doing, he hasn't looked to history at all to realize what a colossal failure this has been and will be. And right now, the early, not just the people in the market being hurt, the Illinois farmers are getting creamed on this.
Right.
I mean, we're a huge soybean exporter, and China's our biggest buyer, and they're just not buying them anymore.
So what stops the bleeding?
He's got to stop the trade war. He's got to get back to the table with these guys, lift the sanctions, and get it back to where it was before. Nobody disagrees that China's a bad actor stealing intellectual property in some of the things they do, but you can't go it alone. And as Chuck mentioned, we talked about a couple weeks ago, maybe revisit TPP, where you have a coalition of Asian countries and others that can be trading partners, and you build strength that way. But right now, it's not stating the obvious. China's a communist country. They're going to do whatever they want to do. They don't really care about public opinion. We're not in the United States, and if he doesn't do something quickly, it's going to be a disaster for him and for the Republican Party.
We do still have power over China in regards to the amount of money that we can spend or take from them. Having said that, that sort of power goes with a concern that the United States can buddy up with other people. How much of this has to do with China's belief that Trump can't be taken seriously, either positively or negatively?
You know, I'm not sure if they're crawling into his head yet, because I'm not sure if anybody has. But China is, they're a global economy. They realize where their power is. We buy products for them because we can get them cheaper. That's a free market. So I think it's more they recognize how much power they have. Trump's been betting on, and Navarro been betting on, that the Chinese economy, which has been slowing, won't be able to handle it as well as we can. And again, they're a communist country. They're going to do what they're going to do. They don't really care about public opinion. So I think that's the difference. They recognize how much strength they have, and they're toying with us, and the public appetite for 800-point drops in the stock market or cause their goods being more expensive or farmers being hurt. We just won't tolerate it here.
Any chance this play from China saying, look, not good enough, saying you'll drop most of this stuff till Christmas, so here's a little payback. Any chance this is to distract us from talking about what's going on in Hong Kong?
Oh, yeah, in fact, I talked to a buddy of mine yesterday who just spent a lot of time in Hong Kong. I do believe that's the case. But these are communist countries. These are not good. Their view of government, it's not about the people. It's about the people in power. And I think this is just a slow roll in Hong Kong to further take away their rights and liberties, and we got to stand up against it. But we don't have a president that really has any, in my opinion, any moral base on what democracy or what the presidency or what the United States is all about, so we sit and don't do anything.
Yeah, see, my concern is I don't know who in Trump's circle, and by the way, that's a circle I'll never be in, who in Trump's circle can go to him and go, listen, look at me. Look at me, Donald. Look at me. Focus. Put the phone down. There's no good that comes of this, so we have to do A, B, and C. Who has the knowledge of what A, B, and C is to help this? In Trump world.
Not Ivanka?
That's right. There we go.
She sits every time I flip on one of these meetings, and they're meeting with the Chinese, she's sitting right there. She's 37 years old. She has no idea what's going on. And I think Chuck has said this, and I've heard it from others that are close to the White House, that's who he listens to a great extent, other than himself. So, no, it's not a good situation, but I think Congress needs to step up. As a Republican, too, this is so far from what we believe in as a party, the principles of the party. It should be an easy move to say, hey, the trade war thing's not a good idea. And we have to stand up for individual liberties, like what's going on in Hong Kong, like we've done in Taiwan for decades.
Do what you need to do with your daughter there, obviously, and if you have time before the hour's up, we'll check back in with you. Eric Edelstein has just put the headphones on, and
he's dropping a kid off too, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a week or so before he drops his daughter off, and Eric right now is selling off all of his stocks. Eric, don't sell. Don't sell. You're making it worse. Don't sell.
No, you don't think so?
Not now.
Hey, okay. I think I'm going to go over and protest in front of the White House. Yeah, it's going to get it.
Yeah, well, if you're able to position yourself there without making it an international incident, do check back in with us in 30 minutes or so.
I figure with the conversations we've had on this show, I'm probably on some watch list.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you are.
You can't get within 200 yards of the White House. You know that.
Quite sure of that. All right, thank you, Pat.
All right, thanks, guys.
And Eric, we'll continue with you in a moment. But first, everything good in your world?
Yeah,
everything. What's the name of that company you have?
AL Media.
And that's a slot machine company?
It is. What's going on with your voice today?
Very sexy, don't you think?
Kind of Brenda Vaccaro.
Brenda Vaccaro or Suzanne Pleshette. Those are the two I wasn't going for.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet.
I prefer Brenda Vaccaro.
MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
One of the more interesting people I've ever come across is Johnny Immerman. Johnny Immerman is a guy who has been on this show, I don't know, once or twice. How many times have you been on in the studio, Johnny? Do you remember?
Steve, great to talk to you again, buddy. It's been, I think, I'd say probably two or three times.
Right, and
back in the day.
And your people have been here many, many, many times. So this all started with Immerman's Angels, and you've developed something in addition to it. And since you're one of the most charitable people I've ever met, I wanted to get you on to talk about it. Oh, and also tell you that you're the most valuable person on the planet.
Well, we're very flattered. It's definitely a team award. I'll tell you, anyone who knows social impact knows teams make it happen. Definitely not an individual, but we've got a good team.
All right, so you want to do a thing to help organizations with premium charity apparel at no cost to the charities. What are you calling it?
So we call it Close Talk, CLOZ Talk, and our website's closetalk.com. How we got the idea, Steve, through Immerman Angels, which is a one-on-one peer mentoring program for people with cancer. Over 10,000 people serve. There's volunteers who've been through cancer like myself, and we give back one-on-one to share our stories with somebody fighting the same thing. Now, how we got the word out for that 501c3 nonprofit to make more impact was we finally learned over time how to make the T-shirt logo of Immerman Angels and hats and so forth a little cooler. And the more our friends wore them, the more the brand grew, the more awareness and sparked conversations, the more awareness got out there. And that is how we got the idea for Close Talk. So a few years ago, we launched this social impact company. The idea is if we can change the world by making people more inspired to think they are volunteering by wearing the logo of a charity they care about, slowly over time, people will ask, they'll see it, the brand recognition will grow, and the awareness that the charities really need to get the word out will grow, and that'll help them help more people, more animals, more military veterans, whatever their mission is. So that's what Close Talk does. We create a free online apparel store for over 120 registered 501c3 nonprofits across the country. We don't charge the charities a penny. They'll never pay us a dollar. They never have to do work. They don't promote us. That's our hustle, and that's our mission, and that's our job. We want to build the world's largest single-place online shopping store to take it off the plate of the charities, one place where a consumer can go and buy their favorite charity T-shirt, hat, everything's quality. We make it. We do them one-offs. We drop ship it. We completely are reversing the model of how charities tend to have done their apparel in the past, which is usually buy 300 at a time or 400 at a time and then have to hand them out one at a time to certain people. We do everything for them, and then we can donate also back to the charities at the same time. So it also can be a fundraiser for any awesome nonprofit.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you, there's a lot of great charities out there doing a lot of great work, but of course they're working with limited resources, so it's really great that this is going to be free for them. So how do these charities find you if they want to get involved?
Well, you guys are awesome, first of all, because, again, we're free. It'll never have risk for the charity. But if anyone knows a great charity out there that they think is an awesome mission, it's got to be a great mission, because that's our mission, is to build the brands of great causes that really make the world better. But if anyone knows a great cause, send them in. They just go to closetalk.com. They can apply for be a member with us online. Takes about 10 minutes. And if we accept them, we want to work with them, we would love to help help them grow. But the only criteria is we just want them to really be in great standing with the government.
Sure.
They're clean, they do good work, and they really make the world better. And there's so many great ones. Just like you said, we just want to elevate their brands but never take anything from them.
And by the way, the spelling again is CLOZ Talk. CLOZTLAK. No. TALK, CLOZTALK .com. And Johnny, you're the best.
Thank you so much. You guys are awesome. Thanks that you guys consider social impact every day. Appreciate you guys. Wishing you all the best.
All right, there you go. this guy's unbelievable. Immerman's Angels.
Oh my goodness. He doesn't even
cancer
need
survivor.
Us. Yeah.
Is it Viv, is it closetalk.com or .org? I don't want to give people the wrong address. CLOZTALK and dot what?
It's dot com.
Dot com.
Closetalk.com.
Yeah, CLOZ dot CLOZ. Wow, what's the matter with me? CLOZTALK.
It's that the deep husky voice, and I don't know.
What's going on?
Yeah.
7:33, more with Eric Edelstein in a moment, and you're... Pat Brady may be arrested at the White House live on the air before 8 o'clock, so stand by for that. Your news is next, 720 WGN.
That poem was referring back to people coming from Europe where they had class-based societies where people were considered wretched if they weren't in the right class. And it was introduced, it was written 1 year, 1 year after the first federal public charge rule was written that says, and I'll quote it, any person unable to take care of himself without becoming a public charge, unquote, would be inadmissible.
That's Ken Cuccinelli, who, by the way, will be at the Lincoln Memorial today in the Washington Monument. He's rewriting a lot of things. He's changing the etchings. He's got a little chisel. Cuccinelli, was he governor in Virginia?
He ran for governor in Virginia and lost.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know he could write, actually.
Letters and everything.
Well, the rock he usually slithers out from under is an illiterate rock. So,
do you remember illiterate rock? It's
I
a
do.
Big tourist
illiterate
attraction.
Rock. Yeah, it was a. That was a sitcom.
You can't make it up. You cannot make it up. Who in their right mind stands up at a microphone and said, "Well, you know that stuff on the Statue of Liberty? That was for the people from Europe. That was meant for Europeans."
Well, a white person.
It's great. Yeah, exactly. It's insane.
Sorry.
A white man.
A white man. So, that's you. That's most of the, you know, stuff that's said like that.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people who had the decency in the past to keep those kind of thoughts to themselves or say them behind closed doors. Now, all bets are off. Everything's out loud.
But in all seriousness, that's when you have the guy in the big chair who sort of
says everything out loud.
Whatever he wants. It gives license to all the other mm-hmm. Neanderthals.
Mm-hmm.
To say whatever they want and think it's okay.
Well, that's the whole argument behind the white nationalist movement.
Right.
That they feel that they can come out of the shadows.
It's been normalized. You know, Chuck Todd from Meet the Press, friend of the program, and Chuck, I don't know, last week or the week before, was talking about how Trump has made a concerted effort. And again, I'm the one that always says he doesn't make a concerted effort for anything. He gets up, he opens his mouth, things fall out, including on Twitter. But said he's making a concerted effort to normalize corruption. In other words, that's not so bad.
Right.
What'd that guy do? That's not so bad.
Right.
And if you, that's not so bad, felonies, well, that's really not a good thing.
No. I mean, look, it started a long time ago with him when people were saying he cheated on his taxes. And he said, well, you're an idiot if you pay taxes you shouldn't pay. I don't care how you get out of it.
Right.
You know, and there's a cohort of people that nod and say, yeah, more power to them. So when a president of the United States says it's okay to cheat on your taxes, it just gives license to saying, you know, none of the rules apply. We don't believe in the rule of law. And, you know, civil society can be damned. Well, and that's what we're talking about.
A lot of folks are saying that's why he's so attached to the presidency, because of the presidential immunity.
Oh, he needs to stay in. He needs to stay. He needs to be reelected, because if he's not reelected,
did you see the
will be indicted.
The comment he made about how it's costing him like $3-5 billion being president.
And several people who know the truth said, A, he doesn't have $3-5 billion. B, he never had $3-5 billion. And C, shut up.
Right. Exactly.
Just none of those things apply. Mitch McConnell, one of my least favorite human beings, is now claiming he knows nothing. Sort of like Schultz from Hogan's Heroes. Remember when Schultz knew nothing?
Yeah, I know nothing.
Yeah, there is a giant industrial facility. I can't remember if they're making steel. What they make doesn't matter as much as the fact that a Russian oligarch who is part of the sanctions and the bans on dealing with Russia is one of the co-owners of this particular facility, which is now being funded by him. It's creating a lot of jobs in Kentucky. Well, that's a good thing. The problem is we're doing direct business with one of Vladimir Putin's best friends when it was illegal to do the same. Mitch McConnell, running for re-election in Kentucky, is running on the fact that he was one of the people that got this place open. And now that this story came out, says, oh, the Russian guy? Oh, I didn't know he was involved.
Yeah. Moscow Mitch, they're calling him now.
Well, he was actively working to have sanctions lifted.
Yeah. Can we step back for a second? Because everyone goes to their partisan corners in these fights these days, whether you're talking about health care or tariffs or whatnot. But fundamentally, and we've said this, you say it all the time, Steve, a foreign power that wants nothing but ill to happen to the United States intervened in our elections to try to sabotage it. Forget who they were for or who they were against. And we have a president of the United States and a majority leader in the Senate and really an entire Republican Party who's put their head in the sand and said, doesn't matter. We don't care. Well, if you don't care about that, what matters?
Right.
It's a foreign invasion of our democracy.
That's an invasion.
Yeah.
Not the other stuff that we're talking about that we keep hearing about on the southern border. Yeah. That's a literal invasion, an invasion of the worst kind, because it's a 2019 invasion using technology and using stuff.
Forget if you're a Dem or Republican. It
doesn't matter.
It's a threat to our country.
Right.
Why does the public at large not care more? What is going on? Why?
Yeah. I mean, I think because and this was what we lamented when Trump got elected, when everything is an outrage every day, nothing mm-hmm. is. And so it's all become normalized.
There's massive fatigue.
Absolutely. And the media has a big part of that, you know.
There's no question. I mean, CNN and MSNBC right now are tripping over themselves about their ratings drop. Well, I'll tell you right now, one of the reasons the ratings are falling is because they continue every news block all day long to talk about the 2020 breaking news, but also to talk about the 2020 election. We wake up this morning with cops shot in Philadelphia. We've got a mountain of ammunition. Shouldn't have been able to come anywhere near it. We also have the slight money problem we have where Wall Street is melting down. I don't give a rat's ass about 2020.
No.
I want to know what's going to get fixed today.
Right.
I think the big question is what do Americans truly care about enough to change their daily routine and do something differently? And even meaning what is actually going to make them go and vote?
Yeah.
Well, don't you think it's the money?
Well, that's everyone saying. If the economy tanks based on these trade wars, that might be something that gets people upset.
The problem, and I don't disagree with that, the problem I have with it is it also becomes a rationalization for saying what Trump does is okay. Oh, if my stocks are good or my 401k is doing well, then I can forgive all the lies and dysfunction and corruption.
I wonder, because of this constant barrage of situations that are falsely declared, you know, urgent and emergencies. Everyone's in their own bubble. Everybody is so isolated. It's about me and mine. As long as I'm okay and mine are okay, then I'm not going to care about anybody else, whether it's across the world in Hong Kong or Taiwan, or if it's, you know, a kid that's in a disenfranchised neighborhood that, you know, has to get to school even though they're being shot at. And that's the big issue. And I don't really know how we as media help that situation.
Well, it starts with telling the truth, and it starts with focusing on what actually matters, and I think we still tell the truth. I know we still tell the truth. As far as focusing on what really matters to people, I don't know.
Well, here's the other thing, and there's a lot to complain about, and I agree with that. I think there are hopeful signs. I think we will have an historic turnout in this election. I think more Americans will come out and say, I got to have a voice at these times because they're so crucial. And that ultimately, that's what you want, is for more people to participate and more people to have a say and a voice in our democracy.
100 million people who were eligible to vote last time didn't vote. That's obviously Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. We can turn back the clock and see if we learn from that. I don't know that that's even an important exercise because, again, if you stay in the moment and what matters now and you decide that you're not voting next fall, I don't know what you're doing.
I think about a lot of the people, because I grew up in Western North Carolina, the Appalachian foothills. I think about a lot of people that I know through extended family that live there that didn't vote. And I don't know that anything is going to bring them out to vote this time either, to be perfectly honest.
Sure.
I don't know
that's my concern.
That they're excited about any particular candidate. I don't think that they feel that anything that happens in Washington, D.C. really affects them.
Well, that's the problem. That's the bigger problem, is the feeling that it's all just kind of entertainment and noise out here and has no impact on their lives.
When in fact it impacts your lives every day, but when you have no belief in the people in Springfield or Washington, yeah, that's a huge problem.
Right.
Pat Brady is live at the White House when we come back, so let's see if he's arrested live on the show. Pat Brady, Eric, is live at the White House. This could be our last conversation with him prior to visiting him in prison. Let's go live there now. Good morning, Pat.
Morning, Steve. I'm well outside the perimeter here at the White House.
Does that mean you're in Georgetown in a pub?
Or I did. There's some protesters out here, and it sounded like they were protesting Dave Ennett, but I think they were talking about the Senate.
Oh, okay. I can breathe easier.
Well, they're similar sounding.
Well, it is my hometown, so, you know.
It's very true. Very true. So what is the mood on the streets in Washington this morning outside of that protest, Pat?
The mood that I saw right in front of the White House was most people trying to take selfies and dodge in those little scooters you can rent now.
Sure, oh, yeah. Sure,
I think that's the concern of most tourists here in D.C.
Yeah. And you've spent a lot of time in Washington. You know the people in Washington. Are they even remotely aware of what's going on in the rest of the country?
You know, D.C. kind of falls asleep in August because they're out of session, and I think most of the members are back in their districts. So I think if there's any action, it's going to be there. But, you know, we got a couple of weeks, they're going to be back, and it's going to be a very busy couple months with the gun legislation and the financial stuff.
Let's end this on complete conspiracy theory talk. Either one of you have any theories on Epstein dying?
Well, I don't know where Pat was that day. They cannot locate him. And now the autopsy's come out, as I heard on this program, and
broken neck.
There's broken neck. And
well, can I
other...
just speak for all three of us as fathers of daughters?
Yeah.
Given the opportunity.
A lot of people wanted to break that neck.
Right?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people that wanted that neck broken.
So there are still people who are very powerful people and very powerful people in politics who are quite concerned about anything else coming out now. Do you see this going anywhere?
Yeah, there's three other victims that are going to do a lot of talking, and the ringleader of the whole thing is still around. So, yeah, there'll probably be a lot more come out about it. But we talked this the other day. The conspiracy theory is that some high-ranking politician had something to do with his death. I don't buy it. It sounds like the guards are just asleep at the switch, and they were doctoring up the records. They weren't paying attention to him.
And I think a classic case of prison guards resenting being on suicide watch, saying, well, if that guy wants to kill himself, not my job to keep him alive.
Right.
So yeah, especially a guy like that.
Don't you guys watch Orange is the New Black? The prison system is really screwed up.
Was it like season 12?
Yeah, no, it's the final season, anyway. Sorry.
Hey, Steve, if I might. Hey, Eric, good luck dropping your daughter off. That's a big day.
Thanks.
That's a big one for me.
Thanks for bringing that up again. I'm kind of in denial about it. But
he's crying.
Yeah.
First 2 years are the toughest. All right, Pat, have a great trip back.
All right, thanks, guys. See ya.
See you, buddy. I knew he wouldn't go to the front of the White House because people are watching him.
I know, he's chicken. He's on all those lists.
Got to remember, it was something he said on this show that had the Secret Service come to his house in St. Charles. all right, will we see you next week? Or are you on the road next week?
No, I'm here next week.
All right, so we'll see you next week.
Yes.
We'll give you one final hug and send you off to send your daughter off.
Sounds good. Thanks,
all right,
for having
thanks, man. Eric Edelstein. News next in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, honey, well, kiss me, kiss me.
Live from the 18th floor of 303 Swacker in beautiful downtown Chicago, we continue with more on entertainment.
And live from the corner of the newsroom at 2501 West Bradley Place, right next to where they take the garbage out of the building.
It's Dean Richards.
And I'm your West Coast correspondent.
You have a beautiful parking lot out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't face that, though. I face an ugly brick wall.
Yeah, the brick wall. And he's not kidding. He's literally in the corner.
Oh, really?
You know how nobody puts Baby in the corner?
Yeah.
Channel 9 puts Dean in the corner.
Everyone puts
Dean
in the corner.
But he is one of the big stars.
Mm.
No, there's nobody else in this corner but me. So that's exclusive.
Now he's within reach of Mike Toomey and Ana Balaval.
Ana Balaval is my cubicle mate.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's always fun, if only I could understand what she was saying.
Right. All right, now listen, we have, you know, Gia's been nice enough to handle all the fan mail for More on Entertainment, and this morning she said, hey, you got one. So, hello, I'm going to read this to you. Hello, I wasn't sure how else to contact you. I hate mornings, but the only thing that gets me through is Steve's show. Longtime WGN listener since I was a teen, 46 now. It's my favorite station. Tired and crabby. The only thing I look forward to is driving to work, listening to the fun, and even more, Moron Entertainment.
Aww. Aww.
So good morning to Treasure Sperry. Now, here's the good part.
What's her name? Treasure?
Treasure Sperry.
Oh, I like that name.
That's a fantastic name.
Is that, it might not be female. Might be male.
I was going to say, how do you know it's a girl?
I don't know. I feel like treasure. I feel like women are more of a treasure than men, mostly.
No question. I would agree with that. I think you're right. I'm just saying, you know, keeping the options open.
Hey, I'm Treasure. How are you doing?
Anyway, for a very part-time income, it continues. I make T-shirts for Amazon. Sometimes I grab things I hear on the radio. Last Friday, Steve was talking to Annabelle Laval about being pops to her kids as well.
Yes.
She hasn't explained that to her kids.
Well, because you don't say no to the grandkids. You just get them whatever they want.
So, anyway, Treasure made me a shirt. I'm going to hold this up for the...
let's see.
The stream here.
It says pops to the entire world.
Aww.
Isn't that cool?
Aww, that's cute.
Right? Isn't that nice?
Love it.
Very nice.
Pops to the entire world.
Does that mean you're going to buy everybody? You're going to buy Dave and me something, too, and Mary and Steve?
I really like little kids. It's adults I have a problem with.
It's good at Christmas.
I don't think I've ever seen you wear a T-shirt in all the years I've known you.
Yeah, well, in this case, I'll make an exception. I mean, I do wear T-shirts. Generally, I sleep in them.
I know you like the ones that are, like, you know, cropped, that show your belly.
Well, you know, again, it's
or
not a...
You tie it in a knot.
It's not a six-pack, it's a nine-pack on the way to being a six-pack.
Well, Treasure is quite the treasure for spreading her
nice?
Joy.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
And we encourage all listeners who enjoy the Moron Entertainment segment to send us free stuff.
Absolutely. Yes, and she, or Treasure, as I like to call Treasure, would like a Moron Entertainment shirt.
Oh, nice. Do you guys have those? How do I get one?
As far as you know, we're making them now.
And we should definitely wear them inside out. That would really...
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Mary has those zingers.
What if you wore them inside out and the actual logo was on the inside?
There you go.
Right?
You could kind of
Everybody
see.
Would know you were more on them.
Yeah, you could kind of see in the tag would be on the outside.
Man, if we only had the energy to finish any of these ideas.
Any of these projects that you have ongoing? You and Dean have the book. You have the
Well, Dean pointed out
movie.
A long time ago, part of the genius of Moron Entertainment is to come up with really good ideas and never do anything
never
with
follow
them.
Up.
Yeah. So.
Didn't we just have that guy on talking about clothes talk? Maybe he would make them for you, even though...
Unfortunately, you're not a nonprofit,
yeah.
The two of you.
Well, you could make
not a charity.
Oh, so far, we are a nonprofit.
Yes, just not exactly. A charity doing good for the world.
Yeah, you'd have to fill out quite an application.
Right now, we're a nonprofit whatsoever.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Nonprofit, not by design.
Hey, I was looking at... you know, you're the food guy, Dean. Every Sunday, Dean not only does theater, he does food and...
Movies.
Movies and Dave Schwann. Is on the show and
the Food Time show is going strong since 1993, I think.
How about that?
Yeah. Wow. Dean works 6 days a week.
Oh, he works Saturdays as well. Saturdays he's on clown watch.
Wow.
Saturdays he just goes around and he's security detail for all the clowns.
Did you see, I meant to text this to you just in case you didn't see it on social media because I wanted you to see it. When we went to the Bud Billiken parade, I was driving the vehicle that carried all of the WGN personalities.
Wow.
And somebody took a picture from the driver's side window.
Uh-huh.
It's me driving and Bozo laughing right next to me.
Oh, that's tremendous.
It's the funniest picture ever.
You got to send it to me.
I'm going to text it to you.
Yeah, you
got to
send it to me. All right, so I just want to let you know we are still featuring state fair foods around the country. It's one of my favorite things we do all year.
Yeah, you've done it. This is the third day.
Well, it takes a while. The Iowa State Fair, Dean, has salad on a stick.
Explain, please.
Lettuce and all your other mix-ins, tomatoes, carrots, and croutons. How do you get them all to stay put? Well, at the State Fair, you take a vegetable kebab with giant pieces of lettuce, giant cherry tomatoes, and cheese, like slices of cheese, slam them all on a stick, and then you call it salad on a stick. Iowa State Fair.
Yeah, yeah. Spike the cucumbers on there.
That kind of reminds me of, you know, how there's these extreme Bloody Marys with the little stick that has everything on them.
Sure, there you go.
That's too much. Yeah. That's too much.
How about...
it goes with my theory with hamburgers. Too much ruins it.
How about a caramel apple covered with bacon?
Oh, yeah. Good. Well, it's sweet and savory. Bacon goes with chocolate. Bacon goes with caramel.
It's got the peanuts in there already with the salt.
It's a caramel apple covered with bits and pieces and broken pieces of bacon. It's at the Oklahoma State Fair. Let me just say three words to you, Dean. I think you're going to enjoy. Shrimp corn dog.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, right? Minnesota State Fair, they do the perfect pickle. I think more of this crap is at Minnesota State Fair than any place else. It's amazing the amount of food they have at the Minnesota
State Fair. Well, Wisconsin's got a lot, though.
I don't know. It's tough to top the people in Minnesota and their Viking helmets. Anyway, it's fried pickles covered in chocolate. Deep-fried pickles dusted with powdered sugar and chocolate on the side.
I would try it.
That's a hard pass.
Didn't we talk about Kool-Aid pickles?
We did.
Yeah, Kool-Aid pickles. And
the deal. I like pickles, so, I mean, hey, I'd try it.
Here's the thing. If you're going to eat something that's bad for you, why combine bad things? Why not just eat them individually?
How about deep-fried Jello, Dave? Would you be into that?
No.
Because you're doing that at the Utah State Fair. Anybody up for a reindeer hot dog?
Sounds good to me.
No, that would be Rudolph.
That's a hot dog made of Rudolph.
Yes, no Rudolph, no Vixen.
It's not Rudolph.
Well, I wouldn't put that on the board. You know, I'd still call it a reindear dog. Yeah. I wouldn't say anything about Rudolph.
As long as you take the antlers off.
Yeah, it's only a Rudolph dog if you put ketchup on the end of it.
Krispy Kreme Sloppy Joe?
Oh, I could see. That could be good.
You slice a Krispy Kreme and the filling is Sloppy Joe.
A Krispy Kreme right off of the little belt.
Yeah.
After it gets made, it's so good.
A Krispy Kreme burger here a few years ago.
I made it on TV a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
It was a cheeseburger with bacon, and instead of a bun, you take a glazed donut, really, and just slice it in half and put it on there, and it's a disgusting mess.
Spaghetti and meatballs on a stick?
Convenient. You don't have to twirl the pasta.
This is actually an award winner. Listen to this now. It's Minnesota State Fair again.
Of course.
Possibly one of the best dishes ever to be transformed into stick form. The meatballs and spaghetti are mashed into balls and then dunked in garlic batter and then deep fried. They're garnished with marinara sauce, popped on a stick, and you're good to go.
I appreciate food on a stick because I wish more people that threw parties would make sure that all the food is on a stick because it's very difficult to hold your glass of wine and a plate and eat while you're drinking.
But then if you're trying to bite it and it falls off the stick, that's kind of messy.
It's got to be a one bite thing.
It's just hard to negotiate the plate, the drink, fork, and knife, stick. And plate. Yeah, the whole thing.
These are called manners world problems.
And it could be used as a weapon at a party. So
manners are not a concern.
Yeah, I have another thing, that I do when I'm at a party like that. And I bring this little trough that I hold around my. It hangs around my neck. And then I can just dip into the trough and eat stuff. Yeah.
Oh, this is why you are a professional.
It's a sexy look. Coming up, the Illinois State Fair's tornado potato. But first, coming up as well, Woodstock. Miley Cyrus news continues. Guns N' Roses, Bruce Lee's daughter, Quentin Tarantino, and Dean hanging out with his girlfriend, Jennifer Hudson. Dean's got a girlfriend, Jennifer Hudson.
I texted you the picture of me and Bozo in the car, by the way.
Oh, I'll be looking at that. We'll come back with all of that.
Be calling his name, Dean Richardly, entertainment editor, Channel 9.
This picture is so fantastic. It's exactly what you described, and I just tweeted it out. Said Bozo's Uber driver was a real surprise. I hope you got a nice rating from him.
I did. He was very generous, both in rating and in tip. Getting a lot of comments. Who's the clown in the car with Bozo?
Well, that's just not right. Well done by you. That's a terrific photo.
That was taken by a photographer who hangs out on the morning show, Mallory Saunier. And it's one of the funniest pictures I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, because you really do look like the guy that's just driving around the Bozo.
I'm driving, and Bozo's looking at the camera laughing.
All right, Jennifer Hudson in Chicago.
She held her 9th annual Hatch Day event yesterday. Hatch Day, called that in honor of her little nephew who was killed almost 10 years ago, murdered with Jennifer's mother and her brother. Little Julian was only 8 years old at the time. And he used to call his birthday Hatch Day, the day that he was hatched. So, and to try to turn this unbelievable tragedy in the Hudson family into something positive, Jennifer and her sister Julia started this event in which they give away back to school supplies, backpacks, and all kinds of supplies to families. And it was yesterday, and we talked with Jennifer and Julia. In particular, the poignance of gun violence this year, with all the violence in Chicago, all the violence around the country, Jennifer said it brings back her own personal tragedy every time.
Yes, every single time. It's like reliving it over again. And, of course, your heart can't help but to go out to each and every family and individual that it happens to, because it's something not a single soul could ever predict or be prepared for. You know, so... So hopefully we can be an example to know, for them to know, you know, there are others like you and you can carry on.
Don't wait until it happens to you.
Right.
Try to find a solution now. Like, we all need to come together. Like, we're here today to try to find a solution to curb some of this, because it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
The trailer for the movie Cats is out there. I'm so looking forward to seeing you in that. Are you done shooting that? Is that finished?
It is finished, and it will be out this Christmas or holiday.
December 20th.
Yes, sir. It's coming. I'm Grizabella.
Yeah. Was it fun to do?
It was a lot of fun. It was probably the most unique filming experience I've ever had.
And have you started work on the Aretha movie?
I am currently in pre-production for the Aretha biopic as well. And it's yet another project that's probably the biggest challenge of my life. But I'm taking a hit on, and I'm giving Aretha every bit of my all and my heart.
Yeah, that Aretha movie is going to be amazing when that comes out.
She's amazing. She really is.
Yeah, I give him a lot of credit. I mean, you know, a lot of people, when they go through a tragedy like that, three members of their family are murdered in one day.
Yeah.
That would be easy to, you know, just stay...
Complete derailed.
Yeah, completely derailed. They have turned it into something
possible. Else. By the way, Dean, the markets just opened. The Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P are all up.
Oh, good.
They're all
Yay.
Up.
Yeah.
Good. The Woodstock performers earned a bunch of money 50 years ago today, right? They all got rich?
No.
What?
No.
What?
Yeah, they actually did not. It's so interesting when you think about that artist today to do a concert, a big concert. You get $1 million, $750,000, you know, something like somewhere in that neighborhood. For Woodstock, which started 50 years ago today, the Woodstock Festival's anniversary is today. The person who made the most money at Woodstock was Jimi Hendrix, $18,000 is what he earned.
And that's what he cost him to replace a guitar he set on fire.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears, which is amazing to me that they played Woodstock, $15,000. They got more than Joan Baez, Janis Joplin, Jefferson Airplane, Sly Stone. Joan Baez got $10,000, Janis Joplin, $7,500. Sly and the Family Stone got $7,000.
There are like 50 members of Sly and the Family Stone. That's like $1.80 a piece.
That's not very much if you figure it out per person. Santana, by comparison, got $750.
You're kidding.
To perform at Woodstock, Santana. And then right after them, at $700, Shauna Na. Which I really don't understand what they were doing at Woodstock.
They seem overpaid at that number. Imagine if Bowser spends that much on Brill Cream every month.
That's right. Do you know what Brill Cream is?
You're familiar with Brill Cream? No. Is it, is it for the hair?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
You don't need to know.
It's
but a little dabble, do you?
A little hair.
Okay.
It's hair cream.
The Miley Cyrus breakup getting uglier. Guns N' Roses settled their lawsuit. Dean has details on that. But before we run out of time, which we already did, Bruce Lee's daughter's mad at Quentin Tarantino.
She is very mad because in the movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Bruce Lee is depicted as a really arrogant, blowhard, kind of really a jerk.
Yep, totally agree.
And
I saw it. I told you that, right?
Yeah, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
And Bruce Lee's daughter thinks that it's a very unfair characterization of her father. She said that she wants Quentin Tarantino to either shut up or issue an apology. Her father was not like that. And Quentin Tarantino says, from everything that he's read, that Bruce Lee was like that. And that's why he depicted it in his movie. But he also says the movie is fiction. The Sharon Tate murders are not depicted accurately or factually in this movie.
No, not at all.
So, yeah. I mean, Quentin Tarantino took a lot of liberties, but the daughter of Bruce Lee has taken great offense to how her father is portrayed.
She's really upset about it. She had to go over and kick Quentin Tarantino's butt. sponsored by Ravinia. That's more on entertainment. Thanks again to Treasure and my cool shirt. Dean, talk to you later.
See you.
That's Bozo's best friend. We're back with the headlines next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Easy to beat our state up, but Illinois has become the first state to require insurance companies to cover EpiPens for kids. That's a very big deal. And all of those involved should be saluted. Our friend Dr. Kevin Most said, you know, you got to talk to Dr. Kevin Hewlett, ENT and allergy specialist, DuPage Medical Group. And let me find Dr. Hewlett here. Good morning, Dr. Hewlett. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Well, I feel good about this. Shouldn't I feel good about this?
Yeah, this is an important step. You know, these EpiPens are a life-saving medication, and they need to be in the hands and close by to those patients that need them.
There's a big story a couple of years ago about the cost of these things, and then a company that was the number one producer at the time jacked the price up exponentially, as so many stories we've heard about pharmaceuticals. The cost now, is it leveled off? Because I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, things have gotten better over the years. So initially, the most common branded form of, you know, this is a class of medications that we call epi-injectors. And so EpiPen is a branded version of one of these devices. And the cost of the EpiPens really skyrocketed over the last probably 5 or 6 years or so. And so, of course, what happens in a competitive market, there are some competitors out there that are providing alternatives. Mylan, who makes EpiPen, also produced a generic that's available. But the cost of these, all of these devices, continue to be extremely high, and for some patients, they're unattainable.
So there's no reason to feel badly that the insurance companies are being forced to pay cover this, because it literally is a lifesaver.
It's a life-saving medication. Patients that have, you know, certain types of allergies, they have to have these things nearby. This is a, you know, this is a reaction that can happen in a matter of minutes, and if you don't have something there, then it could be a life-threatening event.
The number to call is 312-981-7200 if you got a quick text question for the doctor. Did we have the scenario where less pens were being carried because they couldn't be afforded?
Yeah, so what I found is that because of the high cost, you know, and even with the legislation that's getting passed, there's still questions about what's going to happen with deductibles and co-pays and those sorts of things, because obviously that's going to come into play here. But anything that we can do to provide better access to this medication to patients that need it is going to help. But what's happened here is that a lot of people will either not get their EpiPens because they simply don't want to pay the money for it, or, you know, probably equally worse, they'll allow an EpiPen to expire, or they're carrying an EpiPen that they know is bad. You know, an EpiPen in particular, there's a little window in the device itself, which the solution in there should be crystal clear. And if it's not crystal clear, then it's not going to be effective, and it needs to be replaced. But people aren't doing that. So they're carrying devices that are probably not going to help them in an emergency situation, and or they're just not carrying them at all.
I mean, Doc, do you recommend that parents or teachers have more than one EpiPen on them at all times?
Yeah. So, you know, what we're treating here is an anaphylactic reaction. So what that is, it's a severe kind of life-threatening allergic reaction where the immune system releases all these mediators, and the result is basically you go into shock. And so this can be, you know, in the form of skin reactions, low blood pressure, airway issues, swelling of the tongue or the throat, you know, weak pulse. This is a real serious deal. And the protocol when that happens is you immediately want to give an EpiPen. Now, you don't have time to call 911 and wait for somebody to get there. You need it right then and now. And so you give the first dose of this EpiPen, and you go right through the clothes. It just injects right into the, most people do it into the thigh muscle. But in about 20% of cases, you actually need you will need another shot. So if you're not getting resolution of symptoms, and by the way, you should simultaneously do the injection and call 911 at the same time. You still need to go to the emergency room. But about 20% of the cases, you'll need a second shot of the epinephrine in order to treat the symptoms. And so for that reason, all of these devices come as a 2-for-1. So when you get an EpiPen, you're actually getting two auto-injectors, or the generic, you get two auto-injectors that can be used. And even some people that need, you know, one at school and one at home, or, you know, we don't recommend carrying it in the car because of the heat. It can go bad really quickly. But having two of these devices with you at any time is very important.
20% need a second is a big deal. That's a high number.
It is a high number, and that's why these are, you know, they're in, when you get an EpiPen, when you're paying that money, you're getting both of them at that cost. You're not getting, it doesn't require two prescriptions.
One prescription covers
both injectors, correct.
Mary Vanderbilt?
Yeah, doctor, my son is out of the age range. He's 23 years old, and he still needs an EpiPen. Well, he took it upon himself to find an alternate, which, you know, was wonderful, the OVQ.
The IVQ is a good product. That one even will talk your way. That has a little speaker in it, and it will talk your way into how to use the device. It's almost like the new, you know, automatic defibrillator that talk your way through it. This product does the same thing. Yeah,
and he had a class at home where he said, okay, everybody sit down. I got my new trainer. This is what's going to happen. And it was really cool. And, you know, the EpiPen, it's free refills every year, and insurance is paying for it. So I was very happy about that, especially for people over 18. You know, what are they going to do?
Right. It's a very good product. It's done well.
And it's a similar price?
That one, as of right now, at least, there are some coupons available where it can be usually obtained. This is, you know, I haven't bought one, but my patients have told me usually it can be obtained for a little bit cheaper than some of the others right now.
And the more competition that comes into market, economics will come into play at a greater level, and you know, it'll be good. But between now and January 1st, when this law goes into effect, please take the doctor's advice and do all the things you mentioned to make sure that you're not using a defective product or an outdated product.
Right. Yeah, you got to keep a fresh one on hand.
I appreciate your time, doctor.
No problem. Have a good day.
That's Dr. Kevin Hewlett taking time from his day to talk to you about the fact that Illinois has done a good thing here. And that has to be nerve-wracking as a parent, Mary Vanderbilt, growing up, knowing he needs that.
Yeah, and we had to use it probably, I'd say, 3 times we have used the EpiPen when he was, you know, at school age. But when he went away to college, it was really scary. You know, you have to make sure he keeps up with his prescription and all that, and sometimes when it skyrocketed like that, I literally forgot. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, it was so expensive, we didn't want to buy it. And then everybody was saying, oh, they don't expire after 18 months, they'll last a little longer, you know. But you have to look, like he said, you have to look at the liquid inside to see if it discolors, and then it's goner.
The other product you just mentioned, AuviQ, AUVI-Q.
yes. That is exactly what it is.
So, and
it looks like a thin cigarette box versus the tube that the EpiPen looks like.
And because this is a new product, the coupons you mentioned are important, because the coupons are deeply discounted, and you could get it for, you know, a few bucks as opposed to a few hundred.
He's getting
until
his free refills and on his insurance with his work. So
it's just so ridiculous.
Happy about it. Yeah.
You think you have insurance, so then you should be able to get the medicine that you want. Right. It's so ridiculous.
Well, look at alternates. It's not always EpiPen. That's the best.
Well, good for him.
And as we're having this conversation, I never would have ever thought, because I don't have a condition, that I need an EpiPen, that I would need a backup EpiPen.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, that's why they come in a 2-pack.
Wow. I didn't know that at all. Yeah. By the way, I had a reaction to a prescription med a couple of years ago. And found out I was allergic to it. But it's a similar thing as anaphylactic shock. I can't imagine having to go through and carry it to protect yourself from it, because you literally feel like someone's choking you. You feel like someone's got their hands around your throat, along with the swelling of the lips and everything else.
Yeah. And he even brings his to, like, Cubs games.
Makes sense.
Because the peanut allergy.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So many bags of peanuts being open. Yeah, but also the crazy thing, too, is I know that the allergies are so prevalent among young kids, but later in life, people are developing allergies too.
Like, I'm allergic to Dave.
Out of the blue, you don't think you're allergic to anything, and then you develop it.
Dave and I have to have a barrier zone between us.
Well, I don't think the EpiPen's going to help you solve that problem.
No.
Just use Benadryl a lot.
Coming up next hour, the director of safety for the city on the Air and Water Show. So it's going to be some
this weekend.
This weekend, yeah.
Sure is.
The rehearsals are going on today, right? Aren't they?
They usually start around Thursday, but you know what? How about this? Neither baseball team is in town this week.
It's so weird.
Because that's always one of the highlights if you're
when the crowd
at one
gets
of the
buzzed.
Ballparks.
Yeah. And then if you watch Fallon the other night, a couple of people from the crowd got their hair cut forcibly by Jimmy. We know one of them wearing a cone.
You should do that here on the show.
I did. Look at the mess it's made of me. And Dave, coming up, snacks you'll love, including shroom jerky.
Is there kale? Dave loves kale.
Mushroom jerky.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Jerky.
That sounds great.
You're a shroom jerky. The news in a moment from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
You know, some days, as I've told you guys before, some days I'm here till 10:15. You say, Steve, how do you do it? I ask myself that question every day. 10:15, 10:10, 20:10, 25. You get to 10:30, that's when I start to go, whoa, what are we, coal mining? I need to get out of here. But I may be around a little bit more tomorrow. I have some people coming in, some family coming in. And I've never been here for the air and water show. Now, look, I could go over to North Avenue Beach and hang around with a million people and all that.
But it's hot.
Yeah, and I don't really want to do that.
Yeah,
too much
you don't
of a
like
hassle.
The heat.
I don't mind the heat so much. I just don't like the hassle.
You just stay here in the air conditioning.
I'm all about
the
parking. So that's what I'm wondering, Mary. If I look out the window from this floor, I mean, it's centralized around North Avenue Beach, but it's not like all the planes are hovering. I'm going to see stuff if I'm here.
Yeah,
right?
We did last year.
You did.
Except. If you look between the buildings, we have the Swiss Hotel to the right side of our view, and then the other buildings across there. And
it's all so, River North is in the way.
Yes. You know, if they could move, just for the weekend, move those buildings, we'd have a great view because I don't
can
know
you see
you
anything
noticed.
From here?
Yeah, you can.
I mean, we can see a chunk of the lake, but
it's go by so fast, though. You see them, whoa, there
could
was.
We have them slow down?
Well, that's why I was thinking, or move the buildings.
Is there a rooftop here? Can we get up to the roof?
That's a good question. I don't know.
You have to know somebody.
Don't know.
I don't know either.
All of this leads to bringing in the OEMC director, and he can tell us about all this stuff, including what his secret is and where he watches it. Rich Guidus is on the phone. Let me get over here to Rich. Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me this morning.
Appreciate you being on. Rich, you understand. I don't want to go over by the beach. I just want to see it from here.
Well, if you want to avoid large crowds, then that's your spot.
Can I call it? You know, like when you're a little kid, you call shotgun? So can I call any good view from this floor?
From North Avenue Beach, is you know, the best vantage point is obviously North Avenue Beach, but you know, you can see a good glimpse of the show anywhere from Fullerton to Navy Pier.
But we're the 18th floor on South Wacker. We ought to see some stuff from here.
Yeah, you should be all right.
People get to the beach very early to, like, stake out a little spot. But one of the best places is to be in a boat on the water.
Mm. Yeah,
you know who's
going to
be doing that?
With that?
Producer Viv. Producer Viv's going to be out on a boat.
Yeah.
Or a vote.
She's going to be a captain.
Whose boat is this?
It's my family's.
So your family's boat. You're going to be out there, what, like, starting when?
Around 12:30, probably.
Today?
Not today, tomorrow.
All right, so can you come back in and get me and my family?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. What time?
Boat party!
Woohoo! The OEMC wants you to know the lakefront this weekend is going to be busy. So preach, Rich. What do you want people to know?
Well, you just got to continue to look out for each other. You know, we're used to having large scale events in Chicago. You know, air and water show, really a Chicago tradition. I mean, I'm 51 years old. I think I've been to every air and water show for the last maybe 38 years, I'd say.
Wow.
But at my capacity, I've been involved with the public safety process for about 19, 20 years now. So you just got to continue to look out for each other. You know, stay hydrated. It's going to be hot this weekend, and be prepared, as every Chicagoan knows, that weather can change very quickly around here.
All right, and what do you suggest, since everybody's going to be looking up, that we don't bump into each other?
Well, just pay attention to public safety officials that will be all over the lakefront this weekend. You know, as you're approaching all the entrances and exits into the lakefront, you're going to be greeted by uniformed Chicago policemen. A lot of undercover Chicago policemen out there as well, all looking out for everybody today.
What's the biggest challenge you have? Just crowd size, or is there something I'm not thinking of?
Well, hopefully the biggest challenge we have is pedestrian traffic and vehicle traffic. So hopefully that's our biggest problem, and we're used to that, and we think we're pretty good at moving around lots of people in a relatively short amount of time, and we're ready for this year's Air and Water Show.
What do you want to tell boaters?
Well, same thing, boater safety. I mean, there's going to be a lot of boats on the lakefront for this event. That's not untypical. Just make sure you have proper flotation devices. Make sure you tell people where you're going, where you're at, and, you know, who's on your boat. You know, basically just stay in contact. Just common stuff, common sense stuff that you don't want to forget.
Well, I think part of the thing is people are going to be on boats. They're going to be having a good time and drinking a
boozing
little bit.
Boozing it up.
Yeah, it's the booze you got to worry about, right?
Yeah, well, I should stay hydrated. That's with water, not with anything more than that. Just be careful.
Rich, do you get to enjoy this? Because all the planning and all the meetings and all the setup, that happens. By the time this starts, can you actually enjoy it, or you just got to stress out the whole weekend?
Well, Steve, this is the part that I enjoy. Is working with Chicago Police Department, Chicago Fire Department, all the emergency management people that are involved with it, the traffic people that are involved with it. You know, you spend so much time with them. You know, we're talking about Air and Water Show, but it's really the 12 weekends we have in summer are 12 weekends I'm spending with everybody in from police and fire. So I enjoy that part of it.
There's something called a pole identification number, P-O-L-E.
Yeah.
Pole identification number, that's a big deal. What is it and why?
So that's something that we realized was important some years back, and we've been trying to populate it along the lakefront and in areas where you know you're going to get big events. So in large crowds where you have a million people up on a lakefront, it's hard to say exactly where you're at without some sort of identifier. So those pole markers are something that we put up a few years ago, and it can tell you exactly where you're at. It's actually set up by address. So if something happens at a location, you put the pole number where you're at, and it's just going to help us get to where we need to get.
All right, so if you have to call 911, just look at the pole nearest you, P-O-L-E, and know the number.
Right, exactly. And they're lined up along the lakefront from Oak Street to Fullerton.
What's your favorite thing about the show when you do watch it?
Well, I mean, as much as you're concentrating on the public safety aspect of it, you can't help but just notice how talented our military personnel
are.
So that just brings an appreciation to the whole thing.
No question about it. What's the rest of your day today? You're probably just hanging out, not doing much, kicking back, feet up on the desk.
It's been a busy day already. I get here about I got here this morning about 5:45 and hit the ground running. So
that's one of us.
We're all good.
All right, my friend. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, nice talking with you all.
See you later. That's Rich Gaitis. He is the OEMC director.
You know, I jumped one year with the Golden Knights.
So tell me about that. Because they asked me to do it several times, and I said, you don't want me attached to your back.
Yeah, you want to do it. It was one of the best experiences of my entire life. It is truly otherworldly. You never feel more alive because you're so much closer to death.
Because you're alive?
Jumping. Yeah, because you're jumping out of a building. But you can't be any safer because you're with this trained military professional.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like they're like...
Is he on your back or on your front?
You're in front.
So he's like hugging you. He's like hovering
basically
over you.
So you're safe
it's
the whole time.
It's going to be okay, Steve. Stop crying.
But I did it a couple years ago, and the year before I actually jumped, I went up in the plane, but the weather was too bad, the cloud coverage. So that was very anticlimactic.
So you were all pumped up. You're all psyched to do it, and then you couldn't do it.
It was very,
I'm impressed you went back, because a lot of people would have taken that as a sign. God didn't mean for you to jump.
Yeah, were you relieved, or was it more of a disappointment to not go the first time?
I was more disappointed, because, I mean, the part that's scary is just being in the big airplane carrier.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
the anticipation.
Yes, and there's no doors or anything. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you're just working yourself up to finally do it. Like, actually, after you take the step off of the plane, you're fine.
But do you take the step, or does the guy shove you?
You are supposed to jump. You're supposed to step together. You step together, you know.
So you rehearse it.
The only part that you really have to know how to do is make sure to lift your... you know, feet when you land. That's the main thing. They just want you to be able to kind of tuck.
What do you tuck and roll? Or the guy behind you?
No. You just, he wants to be able to handle the landing with his feet. So you just kind of have to lift your feet, like tuck your legs under.
So he lands and
Yeah.
You know who's doing it today?
Who?
So allegedly,
one
of our colleagues in the WGN sports department.
I just saw that on Facebook.
KP.
He tweeted it, yeah.
Kevin's jumping?
Kevin is jumping. I think it's today.
I mean, to be able to skydive.
Oh, he's a little girl. He'll lose his mind.
I mean, to be able to skydive over downtown Chicago to see the buildings from above, it's like being in heaven. It's unbelievable. Very few people get the opportunity to do that. So.
I knew somebody back in the day whose brother ran a flight school and, you know, did hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of jumps.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't jump.
Well, here's the thing, though. You get the perspective of how high you are because you can judge it based on the buildings. Whereas if you're normally jumping, you're jumping over like an open field or farmland.
But what about the George Carlin theory that why would you jump out of a plane that's not broken? What about that?
Because you're basically, you know, I told the guys, they were so incredible. I mean, our military is unbelievable. I was like, if anything goes wrong, like one of the other guys can like scoop in like Mission Impossible, right?
and
sure to grab us and...
Yeah, and they said, sure.
Yeah,
sure it works that way.
They're all like...
Sure it does.
Yeah.
They have these new devices now, though, that will go off automatically if you don't pull your ripcord. This happened recently. Remember that story last week or the week before out at DeKalb where the two skydivers collided with each other?
Yeah, knocked each other out.
And one guy was unconscious and his opened automatically.
Listen, I'm not ever skydiving by myself, but if I have a trained military professional, heck yeah.
Was this just a good way to meet a military guy?
Yeah, they're all really cute, too.
That's what I figured.
They save America.
When they open the door, is it super loud on the plane?
You know, I don't even... It's loud. The plane is loud. You know, and it's just weird. I think the part that's weird is just being in a plane like that, because you're never as a civilian in a military.
Because it's a hollow plane. You're sitting in this chair.
It's all gutted.
Did you see Harrison Ford, and did he tell you to get the hell off your plane, or was that something else?
No.
All right, so when a door opens and you're standing on the ledge, did you have a sensation that maybe this is a practical joke and he's just going to shove me out?
You know, you do have this... You can't help but think...
Because you're going out first.
Yes, well, because he's behind you, so, yeah.
Was it 1, 2, 3 jump? Did it count or anything?
It was just like sort of like, yeah, kind of
ready,
like that.
Ready, set, go?
Kind of, yeah, and then...
Ready or not, here we come? Any of that stuff?
Basically.
Okay. But don't you have to pull something?
No,
you don't
absolutely
have to do anything.
Nothing.
I would be afraid I'd forget
to
do...
No, you don't have to do anything.
It's
is skydiving with dummies.
Once you jump, what's the scariest part? First 5 seconds, 10 seconds?
Just the first, like, 3 seconds. It goes so fast. And then your body acclimates.
So when the chute goes up, it gets peaceful?
Yes. I mean, it's being on a roller coaster is scarier than jumping.
Seriously?
Yes. Because the roller coaster, you're
how
losing.
Drunk were you when you did this?
You can't. They won't let you drink. Trust me.
Seems right.
They won't let you drink before you jump.
Well, I'm impressed. That's very impressive.
They don't want you to, you know.
It's also crazy.
And did you wear a diaper?
Nope.
Mm-mm. Would you recommend one?
No, I wouldn't. I would not. You know, the only part that got scary was he started doing like those like circles with me once the parachute was
goofing
out.
Around? Or
yeah, he was goofing around. I was like, I don't like that. I don't like that.
Yeah, no, that would have been good. I'm not going to do it.
Steve, you should totally do it.
She hasn't talked me into it either.
How about you and Kevin in a tandem jump?
Oh, my.
I would do it if Kevin didn't know that I was not the military guy, that I was actually the guy behind him. I would do it for the laugh.
Like at the last minute,
he turns around.
Hey, Kev.
I tap the military guy. Just before we jump out, he turns around and sees my face. Woo!
Stop!
Speaking of big crowd events like we just were, the 50th anniversary of Woodstock is this week. The Beatles were originally supposed to be there. I did not know that. I mean, I was a little kid. I was 8 years old. But the Beatles were originally supposed to be there, and one of the reasons it's believed they did not go is because John Lennon's wife's band, the Plastic Ono Band, was refused an invitation, so therefore they said no.
Hmm.
And if John said no, they weren't going. Bob Dylan didn't go because he didn't like hippies, which I find very funny.
Yeah.
It's a true story. 3 days of music, no crowd violence with all those people. Pretty impressive. Says something about the quality of the weed, I suppose. There were babies born there. Reports of
what?
Heavily pregnant women being rushed to nearby hospitals to deliver. How about that? There was a shortage of food, and there was a lot of rain, and yet there was no violence. The festival was placed, it was named Woodstock, didn't actually take place in Woodstock because it got moved to the Yasgur Farm, which is all in the documentary. And there's been multiple efforts to recreate the festival. It's never happened. This is interesting. Remember Iron Butterfly? I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I know the name.
No.
I do. Iron Butterfly had a problem at the airport, and they wanted the organizers to fly them in on a helicopter, because the traffic was incredible. And the organizers sent a telegram with the letters F U and said, we're kind of busy around here.
Sent a telegram.
Yes. The venue was filled with hippie-tastic signs like these. They put up signs, and I'll just tell you what's in the picture here. Gentle path, groovy way, highway. The announcers, they never hired an MC. They sort of forgot to hire an MC. So they had union crew guys do the announcements, and they were the guys you heard say, stay away from the yellow acid, or whatever the acid was that they were telling people to stay away from, the drug announcements. 400,000 people attended the festival, and they originally thought there might be 12 to 20,000.
Wow.
Jimi Hendrix's Star-Spangled Banner has been often called the greatest single moment of the 60s. And we found it earlier today from Dean. He was the highest paid performer at $18,000. And Joe Cocker played a beautiful rendition of the Beatles song with a little help from my friends, which some argue is the most iconic performance from Woodstock. A little Woodstock trivia.
And Richie Havens, too.
Richie Havens played for like 3 hours or something because the band that was supposed to follow Richie Havens couldn't get there. They were stuck behind VW Beetles for miles.
I think for the premiere of Crazy Rich Asians, you did your mother's hair. You styled your mom's hair. That's you and your mom.
That was literally like an hour before I had to go on the red carpet.
How cute is that? Well, it got me thinking, do you want to give someone a haircut right now on the show?
Right now? All right. You're not going to regret this.
No, what is your
name? What's your name?
My name is Yanni.
Yanni, where are you from?
I'm from Westchester, 914.
Now, what kind of cut are you guys looking for?
Well, I've been looking to kind of texture it a little bit. I'm thinking like...
This guy's come out for an actual haircut.
Oh, my God.
I've been meaning
this
to.
This is like a celebrity cutting hair. Let's just be honest.
In a moment, meet Yanni the Taxist, the guy that got his hair cut by Henry on Fallon the other night. Before we get to that, Dave, healthy snacks are available. If you order these in advance, you could take them to the state fair while your friends and loved ones eat the other crap.
So you can't get them at the fair. You have to bring them with you.
Oh, you got to pre-order.
Can you bring food into a state fair? Like, you can't always bring food into a ballpark.
Maybe you sneak it in.
Just make sure you have a big enough man purse.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Okay, well, that's
not
a problem.
Giant bag you carry in the crook of your elbow.
Yeah,
be great. Illinois State Fair featuring this week the Tornado Potato. The tornado potato looks like corn on the cob, but it's thin spiral swirls of potato. The giant spiral-shaped French fry is a unique twist on the everyday fry, and its serving on a stick makes it easier to walk around than a typical potato.
Wait, I thought we were talking healthy snacks. This is a French fry.
The Montana State Fair features the Viking.
Okay.
It's an oversized meatball dipped in a thick batter and deep fried till it's crispy and brown.
Okay. Again, I thought these were healthy.
What about alligator? Like Chance the Snapper?
I've had alligator.
Did you eat Chance?
I don't
Chance
know.
Is safely
no, this was years ago.
In Florida.
It seems like it would be really tough.
This really upsets G when you talk about Chance being consumed.
You know what alligator tastes like? Tough chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tough, snappy chicken.
I had it in Australia once.
You had alligator?
Yeah.
And?
I don't remember. Everything tastes like chicken.
Have you had everything, like all this exotic food? Have you had a lot of that stuff?
Well, I mean, I was in Australia and they have a lot of, you know,
did you
on the Barbie.
Did you have kangaroo?
Yeah, they do serve kangaroo.
Yeah, did you have roux?
Well, it was a big old Barbie.
Yeah, but did you have kangaroo?
I had a bite or two. I felt very bad about it. Very guilty.
What about emu? You ever had emu?
I think they had that too, maybe.
Llama? You ever eat a llama?
No! No.
We had kangaroo and emu jerky after the Olympics in Australia. Remember that, Mary? I think somebody...
Oh, yeah, who brought that?
From
Andrea?
The Tribune. No, it was from the Tribune. Their reporter brought back jerky for us.
Yeah, it's like an Aussie thing. They do.
That good.
They have all that.
I mentioned shroom jerky. You could also get, Dave, this is a head now. This is the healthy stuff for you. Butternut squash pretzels.
So explain that.
It's pretzels that seem healthy, but maybe not so much. You need butternut squash pretzels, which are a combination of butternut squash, cauliflower, spinach, broccoli, and turmeric, baked and shaped into pretzels.
Oh, that's great.
Turmeric
sounds great.
I like the way you.
Salt.
I like the way
it's turmeric.
I
thought it was turmeric.
Turmeric is the adjective.
I like it. Turmeric. That was like an Annabella Vol.
It does.
That was like I liked it.
Well, How about a brand called Off the Eaten Path Snacks for the Curious? Are you curious, Dave?
I'm very
always curious.
Veggie sprouts. Or, I'm sorry, veggie crisps, rice, peas, and black beans made into chips.
Oh, no.
I've had those.
Yeah. There's a lot of different versions of those.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Do you ever eat those, Steve?
I've had them. Yeah,
I've had them. You like them? Tasty?
Yeah. Oh, I thought I had them. It was actually a handful of gravel.
The problem is people put like a ton of salt on them, which kind of negates the benefits.
I love
the
salt.
Health benefits.
I'll give you one more. Sprouted watermelon seeds. It's from a company called Go Raw, $8 a bag. These sprouted seeds are sprinkled with sea salt. They're organic. They have 11 grams of plant-based protein, vegan paleo.
That's true.
And gluten-free eaters. They also make a nice addition sprinkled over salads.
That's the other thing with this whole seed craze. Now they're saying it has to be sprouted in order for you to have the most nutritional, I don't know.
I'm just going to say the same thing I say whenever we talk about kale. There is other food. Yanni Metaxas is on the phone. So Yanni goes to the Fallon show the other night. He's minding his own business. He's not hurting anybody. He's sitting there. He's watching the show. Suddenly Jimmy Fallon, who's talking to, it was a Henry Goulding. Is that who was on the show?
That's who it was.
Yeah. So Henry Goulding, Crazy Rich Asians on the show. Jimmy said, hey, you cut your mom's hair. Remember that? You cut your mom's hair? Showed a little picture of it. How'd you cut somebody's hair now? Next thing you know, Yanni is on stage getting his beautiful hair cut.
That's what happened.
Did you look in the mirror the next day and go, I've made some terrible choices in my life?
Well, you know, it's funny that you should ask that because I had actually just recently gotten a haircut. My hair was very long. It was lower than shoulder length. And I was kind of going for a Johnny Depp in Sleepy Hollow or like a Timothy Chalamet look.
Uh-huh.
And so I had just gotten my hair cut. And, you know, I said, you know what? What's another haircut going to do? This is a really cool opportunity that I would love not to pass up. So,
well, and on top of the fact, we should say Yanni's a performer. He's a musician. He's an entertainer. I would have added this to my resume by the time I got home.
You know, I thought the same exact thing, and I had a few friends tell me that I should do the same. So it's going on. It's already on that resume there.
It's on your IMDb.
I've looked at the video. You're a good-looking dude, and this is risky getting a haircut. I mean, on my hair, I call my hair the shaggy rock version.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of the rock with a little, you know, a little bit of fuzz. So mine's not as big a deal. But if you got a good head of hair, man, you just can't be messing with it. And yet Yanni threw caution to the wind. And when Fallon needed him, he said, I'm there for you, Jimmy.
You know what? Fate called and he answered.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what happened.
All right, so who was the other dude that got his haircut? Is that a buddy of yours, or you didn't know him?
No, I didn't know him at all. And, you know, the first time I ever got a chance to speak to him was backstage after the segment, after the show ended. They brought us backstage, and, you know, they were very gracious on the show. They said, you know, we'd like to, you know, shape you guys up so that you're not leaving here looking like you just got hacked. And this guy kind of, you know, people said, was he, like, crying? You know, I said, no, you seem like a good sport. But he just got backstage and he said, no, I have to catch a bus back to Jersey. So he just left looking like that and didn't get a chance to get cleaned up.
Well, that seems like a mistake. And who got the better haircut, you or him?
Well, come on.
Right?
I didn't get half my eyebrow shaved. They actually didn't show that part in the segment. But Jimmy shaved half of his eyebrow off.
I mean, did you get anything for doing this? I mean, did they give you,
or you
like,
get the union minimum TV appearance, which is what, $500-$600
like,
bucks,
you know,
or something?
You would have given like a deep dish pizza gift certificate or something.
I would have taken them out for a nice Greek food.
Right.
We don't do deep dish out here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, which is a huge mistake, but that's a whole different show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I got to go home and say that I got a haircut from Henry Goulding on national TV. But I also got to say that I got two haircuts in one day because Jimmy's personal hairdresser touched me up a little bit afterwards. So,
wow.
You know,
I would have had him do my chest hair, my legs. I would have had him do the whole
for
thing.
Sure.
Yeah, my goat, absolutely.
I mean, the important thing is that did your parents get to see you on the show? That's the most important thing.
They did. My mom is currently in Greece right now, and my dad is preparing to go out on vacation to visit her as well. And she was like texting in the middle of the night saying, like, how do I, you know, middle of the night, our time, which is when the show goes on. And she's like, how do I see this? Where do I go on? And, you know, we weren't able to figure out. She's on a small island in Greece. We weren't really able to figure out how to get it to her. But, you know, they post the clips on YouTube several hours later. So we were able to send that to her. And, yeah, both my parents kind of, they kind of freaked out at first. But they were like, because they know how much my hair means to me. And they know that I'm a performer. So it's part of my look, you know.
That's our little baby boy being hacked by Jimmy Fallon's friend.
Yeah.
So, did you tell Golding, hey, maybe get me an audition for your next movie?
You know, I thought about that.
That would have been gauche.
You know, I said, let me milk the situation a little bit. So, you know, I started posting a little bit on Instagram yesterday.
Yeah, you got off a couple of good lines, too. You got off a couple of good lines.
Thank you. And then I let him slip into my DM. So he reached out to me as a sort of thank you, a follow-up.
Wow.
So now I have the opening. You know what I'm saying?
I've interviewed him. He's a very polite, nice man.
Or Henry.
Henry.
Yeah, I don't know Henry.
He really is.
Fallon's
really
an unbelievably nice guy. Fallon's ridiculous in this. All right, buddy. Thanks. Hold on. We have Saganaki for you.
Yeah. I was going to ask him. I was going to try our new Greek words that we've learned from Viv to see if maybe he
Saganaki
understood.
Means I don't dare try anything else on the menu. It's 9:53.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
You know what? I'm not being confused for Denzel. I get a lot of Bruno Mars. Bruno? No. No, it's Steve. It's Steve. It's not Bruno.
You move like Bruno Mars.
I do.
You've got similar
mostly it's when I get twitchy because my back hurts.
Oh. Oh.
Today at 2 o'clock, you have an opportunity to get the Olive Garden Never-Ending Pasta Pass.
What?
The Never-Ending Pasta Pass at Olive Garden allows you a 9-week run. The first 24,000 people, and that's it, for $100, you get unlimited breadsticks and what else? They have salad, soup, and pasta for 9 weeks.
Ugh.
Now, an average ticket at Olive Garden, I'm told, is $20-$25.
Yeah, right.
So that means to make that $100 work, you got to go to at least you got to have at least 5 meals at Olive Garden over 9 weeks. Doesn't seem that hard.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
Now, they're also doing something called the Unlimited Pass. The first 50 people are going to have a chance for an additional $400, so $500 total, to upgrade to free pasta for life.
It's a lifetime
free
pass.
Free breadsticks for life.
Wow.
Free salad for life.
For life.
No soup. No, free soup as well.
No soup for you.
That's only 50 people. So go crazy, kids. It's the Olive Garden today on the Olive Garden website starting at 2 o'clock Eastern time. That's 1 o'clock your time. And that's Bill and Wendy. We're back with them next. Well, we've done all we can do here, and there's really nothing more we can do.
Really?
I mean, to make that sound like it's, you know, been damaged in some way. I'm thinking about coming back tomorrow, though, probably during your show, with some family members to watch the air show. So if we're in here, can we just get some chairs?
We'll set some up, some card chairs up. Sure.
When do you guys start seeing or hearing it on air show Friday?
I don't recall ever. Isn't that terrible?
They start doing just flybys, just practices mid-afternoon usually. So we're usually out by then.
Oh, so nothing happens before noon?
I don't think so.
I don't remember that.
No, not usually. No.
Yeah.
So it's after 12. So it'd be during like Williams or Roe.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Got to come to Roe's.
Well, with Roe's ego, he'd never notice me in the room. What are you guys doing today?
Hogan.
Yeah, we're going to take a stroll down memory lane. We were talking about Mr. Kelly's nightclub.
Yeah.
And Rick Kogan did a podcast about it and wrote a column about it. And we're going to talk about the people that performed there then who are still doing
it. Everybody who is anybody in comedy.
Yeah.
Up to about, what, 72, 3?
Right. Very early 70s is when it closed down.
Bob Newhart told me specifically he never would have had anything in his career if not for Mr. Kelly's.
How about that?
I just love Rick Kogan.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm obsessed with him.
Oh. What is the attraction for women to Rick Kogan? Is it the voice?
It's a storyteller.
It's what he says.
Yeah. He's a poet. He speaks in prose. He's brilliant.
You know, your whole team is weird.
Wow. What, you mean all girls?
Yeah.
And if
we love
you. You've seen him in blue jeans, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That'll answer
He can shake it.
Yeah.
He's a modern-day beatnik.
I've said many times, I think I said this to you, he's the only grown man I know that could call another grown man sweetie and not get smacked.
Right. There's something to that.
Sweetie and honey. Yeah. I hear him do it all the time. He calls every man he meets sweetie and honey. Well, it's Kogan. It's fine.
Right. Right.
All right, I've done all I can do.
All right, Chicago stories like the ones ahead. Rick Hogan gives us.
Yeah, because he's great.
What, are you jealous?
I actually love Rick. You know I love Rick.
Jeez.
Back off, sweetie.